The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
What's beneath the surface? What's beneath the surface? What's beneath the surface? What's beneath the surface? Let me get my timer here going, because you know, this is express service. You know that, right? Express service. All right. Get my timer. All right. It was April the 14th, 1912, on a Sunday morning, that the unsinkable happened. This ship by the name of the Titanic, that was deemed and dubbed by one newspaper, and it said on the headline, "Even God can't sink this ship. Even God cannot sink this ship." The Titanic. It was, as I said, it was that Sunday morning in April, as they were out there sailing. They was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and because of the moderate weather, it had created some icebergs. They had gotten warned about the icebergs in the water, but because of their mentality about their ship, they felt as if that the icebergs would not bother them. It was not a head-on collision, this great ship, the Titanic, when it comes to hitting this particular iceberg. But no, it was beneath the surface that it literally ripped the shreds, the interior of that bottom of that ship, where this particular vessel, this man-made vessel that they said was unsinkable, that even God couldn't do. It wasn't the thing on the surface that bothered this particular ship. It was a thing that was beneath the surface. And here on our journey to spiritual wholeness. In fact, we're committed to holistic living here at Truth and Love Ministries. One of our core values. We're committed to holistic living, meaning that in every area of my life, I am to endeavor to be the very best that I can, not just in my church attendance, but also in my relationships, not just in my relationships, but when it comes to my finances, not only when it comes to my finances, but when it comes to me mentally and emotionally. God is calling for me to live in a holistic way, and we're on a journey to spiritual wholeness. I don't know about you. Maybe you can get on board if you would like. Maybe you want to take this journey with us, but I'm on my way to this particular destination. I'm on my way to the place that where God has me living in a holistic way. This is how Jesus said. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and not just have life. I want you to have it abundantly. I want you to have that abundant life." And oftentimes in our lives, it's not so much of, and not so much what's going on the surface, and not so much what's going on the superficial. But no, look what Brother Peter Scazzaro says. He says this, and I quote: "Humans, like icebergs, have many deep layers below the surface." Much like this iceberg that literally ripped this Titanic up. Literally, this iceberg that they avoided running directly into the iceberg, but it was the iceberg that was beneath the surface. And can I tell you, it's only about 10% of the iceberg that is visible to the naked eye. The other 90% is way beneath the water. Can I tell you, such is the case with you and I, that is only 10% of what we want people to see. It's only 10% of the image that we portray, and the conversations that we have, and the way that we carry ourselves, and the way that we engage with one another, and the way we engage with God, and even the way we engage with the Word. It's only on the surface. But God is calling for us to look beneath the surface. God wants us to look beneath the surface, more than just what's on the top, more than what it is I show you, more than what's just going on as I'm going on with my life. But it's much, much more, much, much more than that. And I tell you, if that iceberg can sink that Titanic, can I tell you what's beneath your surface can sink your life? If that iceberg can sink that entire vessel, can I tell you that it's what's beneath the surface that'll have your life going down. It'll have you sinking. It'll have you sinking. Mr. Scazzaro, you've heard me mention him now. This is the second week in a row that I mention him, and I'm going to mention him several other weeks because I believe God has us in a journey. He has us on a journey. And this particular book that I'm making mention of today is called The Emotional Healthy Church. The Emotionally Healthy Church. Not just the emotionally healthy spirituality, but the emotionally healthy church. And a lot of people think that the emotions and the kingdom of God have nothing to do with one another. A lot of people think that emotions, my anger, my emotions, my sadness, my emotions, my fear, whatever emotions that I have, my feeling rejected, my feeling of despondency, my feeling of isolation, feels it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Whenever it is I come into the kingdom of God, all of that should just take care of itself. All of that, it should just be simply done away with. And can I tell you, the power and the potential is there for all of that to be done away with. But can I tell you that there is a process. There is a process that you and I must undergo. There's a process that many of us don't like to go through in order for God to work and align our emotions to God's word. Come on here. To align my emotions to God's will. I keep telling you, this is why you have people that come to the kingdom of God. They come to our churches. They put their name on the roll. They do what they need to do. But then you'll see them for a few weeks. You'll see them for a few months even. Maybe even a few years. But can I tell you, in the process of time, because it's still dealing with their emotions, because they're still dealing with their daddy's mess, because they're still dealing with their mama's mess, because they're still dealing with so many things that happened to them in their life and who they are, you'll see them ease on out the door. Can I tell you that happens so oftentimes or not, that so many individuals, they'll come looking for a quick fix. They'll come looking for God to do something in their life, but it's not just a quick fix. It's not just an emotional high. It's not just me to sing the right song, not for the preacher to preach the right sermon. It's not for the praise team to play the right music. No. I have to allow God to take me on a journey to emotional health. I got to allow God to take me on a journey to where he's working in me. He's literally wooing me. He's literally tearing me down to build me back up. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things they got to pass away. And behold, all things they have to become new. So there's some things that there's a part that many of us play a part in. And no matter whether you want to believe it or not, you and I, all of us, everyone under the sound of my voice, we are in a spiritual state right now. We're in a spiritual state. Now whether you agree with what state you're in or not, that's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord, and depending on where you are. So there's a couple of states that some of us could be in. One of it is an emotional infant. An emotional infant. Just listen to this. What an emotional infant. This is the description of an emotional infant. I look for other people to take care of me emotionally and spiritually. I often have difficulty in describing and experiencing my feelings in healthy ways. I rarely enter the emotional world of others. I'm consistently driven by a need for instant gratification, often using others as objects to meet my needs. People sometimes perceive me as inconsiderate and insensitive. I'm uncomfortable with silence and being alone. When trials and hardships or difficulties come, I want to quit God and the Christian life. I sometimes experience God at church. Listen to this. I sometimes experience God at church and when I'm with other Christians, but rarely when I'm at work or home. Just sit for a second. Just do me a favor. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes for a second. Let me see your hand if you think you fit that description. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Let me see your hand if you think you fit that. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. All right. Put your hands down. All right. So that's good. Come on, we're getting somewhere. That's good. The first step is admitting. Now let's go to the next stage. The next stage is an emotional child. an emotional child. I need y'all to listen to me so y'all can get this. It's not just a sermon. This is a message from God. It's not just a sermon. Y'all wake up off that wall. Wake up, baby. Wake up. Yeah, wake up, sweetheart. Look, I want you to listen to this. An emotional child, when life is going my way, I am content. However, as soon as disappointment or stress enter the picture, I quickly unravel inside. I often take things personally, interpreting disagreements or criticism as a personal offense. When I don't get in my way, I often complain, throw an emotional temper tantrum, withdraw, manipulate, drag my feet, become sarcastic, or take revenge. I often end up living off the spirituality of other people because I'm overloaded and distracted. My prayer life is primarily talking to God, telling him what to do and how to fix my problems. Prayer is a duty and not a delight. That's an emotional child. We're an emotional infant, not an emotional child. Now, do me one more favor. I'm going to ask you again. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Thank you. So y'all so obedient. I love y'all so much. Now, just raise your hand. Let me see your hand if you think that's you. If you think that's you. I see your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Now, put your hands down. Now, let's go to the next stage. Let me put you on the couch. Y'all on the couch today. We're on the couch. Look. An emotional adolescent. An emotional adolescent. I don't like it when others question me. I often make quick judgments and interpretations of other people's behavior. I withhold forgiveness to those who sin against me. Avoiding or cutting them off when they do something to hurt me. I subconsciously keep records on the love I give out. I have trouble really listening to other people's pain, disappointments, or needs without becoming preoccupied with myself. I sometimes find myself too busy to spend adequate time nourishing my spiritual life. I attend church, I serve others, but enjoy few delights in Christ. My Christian life is still primarily about doing and not being with him. Mm-hmm. Prayer continues to be mostly me talking with little silence. Solitude or listening to God. So we got emotional infant. We have emotional. What was the second one? Emotional a child. Now emotional adolescent. Do me the favor. Come on, y'all been doing good. Stay with me. Come on, close your eyes. Slip your hand up if you think that description fits you. Thank you for your honesty. Some of y'all put your hand down. Some of y'all gonna have to raise your hand after a while. Now y'all just sitting there like y'all just super deep and got it all together. So when you have to raise your hand after a while. Look. Lastly. Emotional adult. I respect and love others without having to change them or becoming judgmental. I value people for who they are, not for what they can give me or how they behave. I take responsibility for my own thoughts, feelings, goals, and actions. I can state my own beliefs and values to those who disagree with me without becoming adversarial. I am able to accurately self-assess my limits, my strengths, and my weaknesses. I am deeply convinced that I am absolutely loved by Christ. And as a result of that, do not look for others to tell me I'm okay. I'm able to integrate doing for God and being with him. My Christian life has moved beyond simply serving Christ to loving him and enjoying communion with him. Now, one more time. Close your eyes. If you think this fits you, Slip your hand up. I see your hand. Put your hands down. Thank you so much for your cooperation. So here, no matter where we are and whether you raise your hand or not, is it one of these categories, we fit this category. Some of us have our feet in two categories. Some of us, we've heard some of the description, we've heard some of the things, and listen, Pastor Colby is not interested in just having a good time anymore. No. Those days are long gone. I want to have some individuals that's attending, that's members of Truth and Love Ministries that are not just professional churchgoers, but no, we can be to a point to where we're whole in every area of our lives. Come on, so I'm not really interested in entertaining. I'm really not. So I really want you to get some. I really want you to take this and walk with this. Listen, because whether or not I'm an emotional infant, whether or not I'm an emotional child, whether or not I'm an emotional adolescent, whether or not I'm an emotional adult, it makes no difference. God has a word for me. And God's word. This is not just psychiatry and psychological babble. No, this is not. This is marrying and looking at the truth of where a lot of individuals are in our life and our relationship with God and marrying it with the word of God, looking at the word of God, how it can help us to become who it is that God has called us to be. So here, Mr. Cesaro, in his book, he in his Emotionally Healthy Church, there are seven principles. Somebody say seven.
Seven.
There are seven principles to an emotionally healthy church. And I'm going to give you one of them today. And we'll go, and I'll give you more of them as we go. I stay on this as long as I feel like I need to. But I'm going to give you one of the principles this morning. And the first principle is, guess what? Look beneath the surface. If you want to move, hear me good. If you want to move from being an emotional infant to being an emotional child, if you want to move from being an emotional child to an emotional adolescent, if you want to move from being an emotional adolescent to being an emotional adult, if you want to stay an emotional adult, you're going to have to learn. We're going to have to learn how to look beneath the surface.
Amen.
If you want to move from whatever state you're in, come on here. I was having a conversation with someone several weeks ago, and they were saying, as I look back over my life, it seemed like I'm stuck. It seemed like I'm on the same thing. I'm in the same level. I look like I'm just dealing with the same thing. But no, God is not calling us just to be stuck in neutral. No, God is not. He's looking for us to progress. He's looking for us to grow. He's looking for us to develop. He's looking for us to become everything that he wants us to be. And the first thing I got to do, I got to learn how to look beneath the surface. How do I look beneath the surface? Write it down if you're taking notes. How do I do this? I must develop an awareness of what I'm feeling and what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I got to develop an awareness. I got to develop an awareness of what I'm feeling. So many Christians hide from their feelings. So many believers hide. I did it last Sunday. Hide under the disguise of I'm saved. I'm mad, but I'm saved. I'm unforgiving, but I'm saved. I don't love hardly nobody but the people that I love, but I'm what? I'm saved. We hide under the skies that we're saved. But no, my friend, you and I, we got to learn how to deal with our emotions. If you don't learn how to deal with our emotions and learn how to express the fact that I'm upset right now, express the fact that I'm angry right now, express the fact that I'm sad, that I feel overlooked, that I feel rejected, you got to learn how to be able to express your feelings in an intellectual way and an adult way, the way you can be able to tell someone, this is how I feel. I'm not going to be fake with you. I'm not going to be hypocritical with you. I'm not going to say one thing in front of your face, another thing behind your back. If you really hurt my feelings, if you really offended me, if you really upset me, I'm going to tell you that you offended me, you upset me, and I'm going to tell you in a tactful way, because I'm not sure. I'm not supposed to run from my emotions. I'm supposed to embrace them, but allow God to process them through his word and his spirit. Man, I'm preaching already. I don't run from my emotions. I'm to allow God to process my emotions and sift my emotions through his word and through his spirit. Now, God is not calling me to be an emotional creature. No, he don't want me to be emotional. I'm just emotional. No, God is not calling me to be emotional creature. I got emotions, but I shouldn't be driven by my emotions. I have emotions, but I want to give my emotions to him so he can help me. So I must learn to develop an awareness of what I'm feeling. And watch the second part of what I'm doing. Look at your life. As we resolve some things, we haven't made no resolutions. We've resolved some things. We've decided some things. We've made up in our minds that 2019 not going to be like any of the previous years. We've resolved some things. So I must look at my life. Look, take some inventory of my life and see, what am I really doing? What am I mean, literally, what am I doing? When I look at my life, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with this marriage? What am I doing as a parent? What am I doing as I work? Am I just going and just going through the motions? What am I doing with my Christianity?
Yeah.
What am I? Am I stuck on the proverbial hamster wheel? What am I doing? What am I doing? What, I got to take inventory and figure out what's really going on.
Yeah.
Because so oftentimes we never slow down to think about what's really going on, because we got a whole lot going on. A lot of times we never stop for a moment and see what's really happening with me. Am I really changing? Am I really growing? Am I really becoming who God wants me to become? Or have I got better at masking it? Am I really growing? Am I really developing? Or now have I become a better actor or actress? Am I really growing? Am I really developing? Or am I just better at suppressing who I really am? And if someone sees who I really am, they might not like the real me, because I don't even know who the real me is. I must develop an awareness of what I'm feeling and what I'm doing. There's nothing wrong with your emotions, my friend. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not supposed to be. Take your emotions, learn from your emotions, but don't stay in your emotions. Come on, this is how the young people say, get out your feelings. Come on here, you can have some feelings, but just don't stay in your feelings. I'm in the Bible. Look at the Bible. Let me get out of psych class and take it back to the scripture. Since y'all think I'm Dr. Feeling y'all this morning, let me give you some word here. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Now, as Peter was here and there, he was here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived in Lydda. Mm-hmm. Peter, who better to kind of kick this off than this apostle Peter? One individual who definitely had to learn himself. One individual that definitely had to learn how to get a handle on his emotions. Peter was the one that was always with the outbursts. He was always the one that had something to say. Jesus was on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and the Bible says he looked to the disciples and said, who do men say that I am? Who do the men say that I am? The Son of Man am? And here Peter, they say, some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say one other prophet. And here go Peter, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Man, I tell you, boy, they were dancing right then. They were happy. Boy, Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but the Holy Ghost. Come on here. The Holy Ghost have given this to you. God showed you this. But 6 verses later, somebody say 6 verses.
6 verses.
From the Lord telling him that God had his hand on him, he went to call him Satan. He says, Satan, get thee behind me. Because he was telling Jesus, you're not going to no cross. You're not going to die. Who better to learn from than this apostle Peter, who had to wrestle with who he is. And God took him through a spiritual journey. And here, not just a spiritual journey. God, Jesus, hear me good. And this is where so many of us miss it. Jesus warned him about his spiritual being unstable spiritually. He warned him of it, but because of who he was and because of him walking with Christ, he thought the word was for somebody else. Yeah. Look at Luke 22:31. Look at Luke 22:31. I brought my own amen today. I'm good today. Look, Luke 22:31. Simon, he said, hold on a second. Slow down there. Hold on. Because he said, thou art Peter. Thou art Little Rock. I'm changing your name from Simon to Peter. I'm changing your name from rock to rock from Simon. What does Simon mean? Simon means shifty. Simon means faulty. Oh man, I'm preaching. He said, I'm not calling you shifty anymore. I'm calling you solid. But here, as he warns him about his emotionally healthy spirituality and tells him how immature he is in the things of God, he calls him Simon. He goes from Peter to Simon. Can I tell you that all of us got a little Simon in us? Oh, don't look at me that tone of us. All of us got a little Simon. All of us got a little shifty in us. All of us got a little in and out. He said, Simon, Simon. He said, put the verse up. Thank you so much. He said, behold, Satan demand to have you that he may sift you like wheat. Satan wants you, Peter. Satan wants you, Simon. Satan wants to do something in your life. But because you think that you've been walking with me, because you think that you've been in the word for so long, because you think that you pray every morning, because you think that you love the Lord, because you think because you come to church that the devil can't bother you or touch you, because you think you're a tither, you're a giver, that you I'm an emotionally dull. You're not no emotionally dull because you do action, because you're good at performing. No. But Simon, Satan wants you, and that's my only heart desire, is to let you know that the devil is after you. My only heart desire to tell you that the devil want to kill you. He don't want to be your friend. He don't want to help you. He don't want to put you in a place where you're okay with yourself, but he want to put you in a place where he killed you. He come to steal. He come to kill, and he ultimately wants to do what? He ultimately wants to destroy. I only think about five of y'all gonna get this today. I don't know. I know maybe five of y'all gonna get this, but I pray that the five of y'all that get it, I pray you run out of here and you're on fire for the Lord. Can I tell you, you can't write off the word. Jesus said, Simon, the devil wants you. With your preaching cell. Simon, the devil wants you. With your anointed cell. With your demon casting out cell. With your always got something to say self. With your Lord, is it you bid me to come self? I step out the boat. Oh, I do what I need to do. Oh, I don't just sit back like John and Thaddeus and all these other boys just talk about what they're going to do. I do about it. I be about it. Satan wants you.
Yes, sir.
Satan wants me. Look what else happens. Look, after the fall, look at Matthew 26:75. Look what it says. It says, and Peter what? Remembered these sayings, or the sayings of Jesus. Before the rooster crows, you shall deny me. How many times? Three times. I spared you because this is express service, you know. I spared you all the other verses in between. So Jesus warned Peter that Satan was coming to sift him as wheat. Peter said, not me. He not finna bother me. He might be talking about one of the other fellas. He said, I'll never die. I trust in the Lord. That's where the song came from. I trust in the Lord until I die. That's not where the song came from. I'm just telling you. He said, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to trust in you. And Jesus goes on and tells him that same discourse. He says, the rooster is going to crow three times.
Wow.
And you're going to deny me. Before it crows three times, you're going to already act like you don't know who I am. And here, Peter was around. Listen to this. This is good. He was around the crucifixion, but not engaged in it. He stood close enough to see what they was doing to Jesus, but he didn't want to be close enough so he wouldn't be associated with him. He didn't want to be too close that they would associate him with Jesus. Some of us can be in church, looking at all that Jesus has done and what he desires to do, but I don't want to get too close, because Jesus is going to make this hard for me. Look, Peter, y'all didn't get that next, too close. Anyway, look, Peter was close, but not close enough. Look, Peter is around this fire barrel. Lady looks up and says, hold on. You look like you one of them. Peter went to cuss that poor lady out. and then they said, well, you look like you've been with him. You look like you one of them. He says, I don't know the man. And the Bible says, I wish y'all to put it in here. The Bible says, the moment he denied him, one gospel writer said, the moment he denied him, Jesus looked right at him. They locked eyes with one another. And here, this is the result. Look at Matthew 27:75. It says, before the rooster crows, you would deny me how many times? Three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. This is where God has to get most of us. I'm going somewhere. In order for us to excavate our spiritual health, in order for us to excavate where we are and to be real and honest with ourselves, God has to let many of us hit rock bottom. God has to allow many of us to get to a place of bitterness, get to a place where we don't.
Thank you for listening to Truth and Love Ministries. Located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Under the loving leadership of Pastors Colby and Camilla Nesbitt. Join us for our Sunday morning worship experience at 9 and 11:15 a.m. We would also love to see you at our Triple Play Thursday, which is our midweek worship experience, kicking off at 12 noon, corporate prayer at 6 p.m., and concluding with a powerful teaching and walk through the Word at 7 p.m. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Truth and Love Jax. For more information, call us at 904-683-9843. Again, 904-683-9843. To glory.